some of the solutions to a lot of our problems are just super simple.
Yeah. And I think building in sustainable practices of, if I want to be healthier, like, okay, 10 minutes of getting outside each day, or 10 minutes of walking, or 1 minute of gratitude journaling, or 1 minute of just writing, like, how do I feel today?
It's a special place, not because of the walls or the weights or the decor, but because of the characters that hang out here. I'm Jake Waring, and my family has been empowering our community's journey to optimal health and fitness for generations. We are a family, and we help other families. And this is the pursuit of excellence, meaningful results, genuine connections, and having plenty of good laughs along the way. This podcast embodies all those principles. Join us each week as we share stories, insights, and tips that may help you reach your fullest potential in mind, body, and spirit.
So Reagan, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Reagan, Killen, mm-hmm. or?
Yes, I still haven't changed my name. Yep, I don't know that I will. I don't think Ryan really cares too much about it, but we're, 6 years in September, so I don't know. We'll see.
It seems like a process.
Yeah.
Like, I just had to go change my address at the DMV, mm-hmm. and that's not fun.
Exactly. I think there's online companies that will just do it all for you and do the front work step. So I think there's easier ways to do it. You just have to pay for it up front, but we'll see.
And also people know you for I don't know how many years, through high school and stuff, mm-hmm. and then changing your name. It's like you change identities.
I know. That's definitely part of it too. I feel very attached to the Killen name
it's a great name as mm-hmm. well too. And your dad, so you are a counselor?
Yep. Yeah. Licensed professional counselor is the term. Yeah. It's so confusing. There's so many licensed clinical social worker, licensed professional counselor. Those are kind of the same thing. It's just a difference in the route to get there. You get your master's in social work versus your master's in counseling. So those are master's level clinicians, and then a psychologist has their PhD. And then a psychiatrist has their MD who's, licensed to prescribe medication. So definitely all the jargon and the licenses gets confusing, but yes, licensed professional.
I got my PhD. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. My public high school diploma. Isn't that what that stands for? Right. I love it. And then, you got the bug to get into this profession, probably from your dad, I'm assuming.
So for sure. Yeah. I was thinking about that. But yeah, I feel like my dad being a practitioner.
My family went to him growing up.
Yeah.
He's a well-known doctor in the mm-hmm. area. Yeah.
I know that he's goes back with your family for sure. I feel like there's, growing up at the beach, always families that you hear about. Warings are definitely one of them. But yeah, he's, been around a long time and practice. He went to med school later in life. So he's a little bit older when he started practicing. But I've just loved, watching him and being a part of the community and helping out his friends and providing care. And yeah, so I think that was definitely an image I had in my head of this is kind of what I'm doing now, or sort of a path that I'm on of being a provider in the community and feeling like that's really special to live and work in the same place that you're providing care to people, so to speak.
Do you feel like you found your career, or your career found you?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that my parents would say since middle school, I always kind of said I think I want to be a counselor. I think that, or I talked about being a vet. I love horses. I grew up riding horses my whole life. So those were two things I think I always identified as a career, but I didn't really, the private practice thing kind of just, I saw an opportunity for it and I kind of went for it, but I don't know that I had that vision of myself, small business owner and entrepreneur and going out on my own. But now I can't picture it any other way. And I love the flexibility, especially being a mom. I'm just going in 5 days a week to work for someone else ain't it for me.
Yeah. It's interesting how it does your priorities start shifting a lot when you start to becoming an owner, entrepreneur, versus sometimes the reason why you got into the profession mm-hmm. to begin with was to help people. And sometimes you end up doing stuff that is not exactly, mm-hmm. In the brochure. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we just said exactly 5 times.
That's so funny. As a therapist, I feel like you become so aware of the one-liners that you say when you're trying to agree with someone that you're talking to. And it's Exactly, for sure. Uh-huh. And then you're like, oh my God, I just said that so many times. Like, I got to find a different word to use. Yeah.
Did you have a first place you worked before you did your private practice?
Yeah. So right out of college, so I went to JMU with Rachel and Ashby Sarah. Yeah, all those lovely
Check
gals.
Out Rachel King's episode. Yes,
I know. Yeah, I loved her episode. Yeah, Sober Fit Rach. She's doing big things.
She's doing awesome.
I know. I'm so happy for her. But yeah, right out of college, I kind of knew I wanted to go back to grad school, but I was like, all right, I need to like take a year and kind of see what's out there. So I actually moved out to a ranch in Wyoming for the summer, Encampment, Wyoming. It's like in the middle of nowhere, but it's called ABRA Ranch. It's a big guest ranch. And anyway, so spent some time out there. And then when I got back in the fall, I worked at Virginia Beach Psych Center, which is right next to Virginia Beach General. So inpatient hospital. Yeah, I worked on the detox unit. So people coming in, yeah, for detox and a lot of like crisis stabilization type work. Definitely like high acuity when you think of like levels of care, like now being an outpatient, pretty low acuity, you know, people that are just coming in more for like self-exploration. And
you mean acuity?
So like high intensity, I guess is a better way to think of it, of people that like the level of care is their inpatient. So there's staff around, medical staff 24/7. A lot of people come in after like active attempts, you know, really in danger of themselves or other people. So again, the level of care matches the high intensity, I think, is the way to think about it. There's staff there round the clock. So anyways, after a year of that, I was like, okay, this...
Is that pretty intense?
Very intense. Very intense, hard. And the other piece of it, too, is like a lot of clients there are mandated. So they're forced to be there, whether by like family or the police. There's been some sort of incident. So that's hard, right? Like when people... are like, hey, you're the person standing in the way of me getting out of here. But on the other hand, a lot of people are coming in voluntarily and they're just at like a really low place of like, I really need help and I need intense help. Yeah. And I need a care facility that's going to like match that. I enjoyed that. And I think after a year of that, I was like, okay, I feel confident that I can like continue on this path. And it was a good, like, you know, fast paced, just
it's a good way to learn
for sure
right there. Yeah, I was gonna say, if you kind of mentioned it, but I was gonna say most people are probably brought there kind of mandated versus coming in on their own.
Yeah, I don't have statistics on it, but I want to say like it's probably a 50-50 split of yeah, people, again,
if, do you see people just don't want to kind of get better, or
yeah, kind of, or maybe people that have, they've just been through it so many times that it's kind of like what sort of treatment would you respond to?
Yeah, I'm sure you don't deal with it now kind of in the private practice, but were you dealing with a lot of like the homeless kind of?
That's definitely part of it. Yeah, so there was 5 units. So when you get assigned there as a counselor, so there's, again, a whole treatment team there of psychiatrists that are there to manage, you know, the client's medication. There's social workers and then the counselors, which again, most of them are like bachelor's level. So they're called counselors, but they're not licensed to like practice like individually in the community like I am now. But they use the word mental health counselor there. What else? Yeah. Nurses, like nurse practitioners, RNs, dietitians there, recreational therapists. So they definitely try to have that like treatment approach. But anyways, there's 5 different units. So the unit I was on was the detox unit, chemical dependency unit is what they called it. So a lot of recovery, 12-step. So that's my background. But there were definitely other units that more, there was definitely like a lot of homeless folks and people that had housing issues. So but kind of a broad, you know, sort of like client that would come in there.
It's become a lot more, I guess, transparent here in the mm-hmm. oceanfront, the homelessness situation. Even my friend was telling me about like a really young kid on the corner of Whole Foods the other day. And it's pretty sad to see. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with maybe some substance abuse.
For sure.
But it's a hard problem to solve. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that was that free for people to?
I don't really know how it works for people that don't have insurance. It's That's a good question. It was nice, I think, for me to just have to focus on, like, my duties were, like, you do rounds and just make sure that everyone is, like, safe and on the unit, running groups. So again, the 12-step, like, recovery group. So that was a good experience for me. I didn't have any, like, exposure to that. So I had some great, like, mentors, that counselors there that had been sober for a long time and were super passionate about their recovery and were so happy to be there, you know, providing services on the unit. And they would hold, like, AA and NA meetings in, like, the cafeteria or in the gym at the psych center. But anyways, there was definitely, like, a whole team of, like, financial folks that deal with all the insurance. And I feel like it definitely got muddy at times. I don't really know how it works for folks that were coming
in. But everyone tries to find support that the people need to, mm-hmm. to be able to help them.
Exactly.
So during that process, you kind of saw an opportunity to take your own path and open your own private practice.
Yeah.
So you went straight from that to...
Well, that actually didn't come till later. I feel like that gave me the confidence to, like, apply to grad school. And I ended up going to Old Dominion, which was really nice because I was able to live at home and I still picked up shifts at the psych center. But then, you know, took my classes and then you have to do your internship hours and practicum hours there. And so I did that at a nonprofit locally. It's Catholic Charities of Eastern Virginia. That was just something that I really wanted to do, was to work in the nonprofit sector and just see what that looked like. And that was great because the services there were really affordable. They charged like $10 or $15 for, like, intern sessions, and we didn't get that money. But anyways, you're just getting your hours for internship. So yeah, Catholic Charities had a lot of cool stuff going on. They did free clinics for people. So yeah, I really valued that. I kind of wanted to get different exposure to, like, nonprofit and then, you know, working in the hospital in a more clinical medical model. And then I worked at Old Dominion and their counseling center for 3 years, providing services mostly to college age students. But, you know, ODU is definitely, like, non-traditional in a lot of ways. There's a lot of, like, military affiliated folks that are using their GI Bill to come back to school, and just non-traditional students. So while it was a lot of college age folks, definitely people, like, outside of that age range too, which was cool. Anyways, so then, like, COVID, and we went all telehealth, and I had two colleagues that had their own private practices as, like, a side hustle. So I kind of just, like, clicked for me of, like, okay, must not be that difficult, right? If I have, like, two examples of people.
That was during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just kind of, like, seeing them be successful with it. They did it, like, you know, on the weekends and at night after work. So I opened my private practice actually online first in February 2021. And then 6 months later, about 6 months later, August, I have my offices in Norfolk, like I was telling you, off of Granby Street. So still pretty close to campus, which is nice.
Were you all online at first?
I was. Yep. Yeah. And that was helpful because I was able to build a caseload while still working full time at ODU. We were, you know, all telehealth during the pandemic, like so many people. So it gave me an opportunity after work hours, of course, and, like, on the weekends to build my own caseload. Cause I was like, all right, I kind of want to see, like, how much traction I can get. And I want to build up a caseload first before doing this.
Caseload is what, like, your bandwidth, like, as far as, like, how many people you can,
exactly.
can take on.
Right. Yeah. And just, like,
do you have a limit to, like, how many people you can work with? Like,
yeah.
Cause everybody does take a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
For sure.
Because you have to spend that time.
Yeah.
Listening to them and caring for them and really trying to find solutions.
Totally. Yeah. I was going to say it looks different now. I work 3 days a week. And so, like, hours wise, you know, that limits you in terms of, like, literally how many people you can squeeze in, and wanting to keep that, like, flexibility piece. And like I said, I'm a mom now, June's 19 months.
Yeah, so mom of two, right?
Just one.
Oh, well,
yeah,
Ryan.
Just one.
Yeah.
June and Ryan.
Ryan, yeah.
And Benji and Baloo.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mom of four, really.
Yes, it's very true. But yeah, that's the caseload is definitely something always to keep in mind of, like, you mentioned the energy and boundaries with your own self. But at that point, I was more concerned with kind of how many people can I get people in the door? That was like my main focus.
Sure. It's like when you're opening a business, you're exactly. like, can I survive on my own?
Yeah.
Was there ever a point where I guess let me ask you this. How'd you get clients early on?
Yeah. So I did partner with, it was a startup out of Denver that basically they take care of all the like insurance claims for you. And then they send you people, but then they take like a good portion of what you're earning. So I did that for about a year. And I will say that it was like not sustainable because I had my caseload at ODU. And then I was like very concerned with just seeing how many people I could see. And I kind of stretched myself a little bit too thin. So after about a year of that, I decided to not take insurance. So I actually don't take insurance. I'm an out-of-network provider, which can be a barrier for sure, because taking insurance makes you more accessible. But I feel like that was definitely the right decision for me, because it was not really so much getting people through the door. It was like, okay, I need to figure out how to navigate like taking care of myself and not just.
Well, the first thought is like, how can I get as many clients as possible? Mm-hmm. And that's when you start stretching yourself way too thin.
Exactly.
And you just don't have the bandwidth to be able to help that many people.
Yep.
And so you have to find kind of the sweet spot mm-hmm. a little bit
to
be able to make it sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so nice now just doing the 3 days a week and have time to, you know, walk Benji in the morning and walk him in the middle of the day. And it just gives me those like little reset buttons. We have a Peloton at the house, so I can hop on the bike and add some movement into the day if I have a cancellation. So it's really nice to have that work-life balance because it's really easy to, you know, just answer emails and texts and phone calls at any day of the hour. I'm sure so many people go through that.
Yeah. I mean, do you see a lot of people that, well, maybe not phrase it like this, mm-hmm. but like that just almost want to be overwhelmed? Like mm-hmm. a lot of times we allow ourselves to like get overwhelmed mm-hmm. with so many things. Like I stay busy,
for
but
sure.
you kind of have to prioritize those things in your life to be able to slow down mm-hmm. a little bit. And I think that's a kind of a big message about this podcast. When we first started, I started bringing people on and a lot of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And one of the messages is slow down.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because it's a fitness podcast, mm-hmm. but some of our health, you know, is just taking it easy.
For sure. No, it's so true. There's a quote I love. It's don't let perfect be the enemy of the good. And like, when can it just be good enough? Like, it doesn't have to be perfect, or we don't have to go like 150%. Can we just like back it off a little bit? But definitely to your point, I think it's so easy to like fill your schedule every second and just not stop and pause and check in. And it's really easy to do that. It's almost like going against the grain to like, okay, slow down and just check in with yourself.
I hear that term a lot in mental health, boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So setting boundaries for yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Is that kind of some topics that you bring up too? Is there a specific target that mm-hmm. you guys have in terms of who you, the type of person you see?
Yeah. So I end up seeing a lot of young adults. So people in like their 20s to 40s is like the biggest range I see. But with that being said, I definitely see people on either side of that. Like I have some clients that are in high school right now. I have some clients that are approaching retirement. So I don't like to be too niche into like one specific type, but definitely some of the stuff that we've already mentioned of, you know, working with a lot of like high achieving, very goal oriented people. So with that comes, you know, people pleasing and like giving a lot of yourself to everyone else. So how can we build practices for you to, you know, stop and like you said, implement just like pauses and slow it down a bit and not overstretch yourself, like not reach the point of burnout. I think that's a struggle for a lot of people of like, when do I know when I'm being lazy or complacent? And like, how do I know when to push myself and to challenge myself? And I think that looks different for everyone.
Yeah. I've been recently kind of, this may be a little bit different topic, but like I've been recently kind of obsessed with goals mm-hmm. recently and achieving goals, but also, you know, the three kind of questions I ask is, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get there? And how do you know when you get there?
Mm.
And I think that last question is important because I see a lot of people, especially in the gym where we set goals, mm-hmm. achieve goals and not know that they actually did it.
Yeah.
Because they don't they don't have a, you know, you can make $1 million, but it doesn't change the way mm-hmm. you feel inside.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's a lot of like reflection on mm-hmm. yourself and how you kind of make yourself
yeah.
feel a little bit.
Absolutely. No, I think you're so right. There's a big like internal piece of that. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I love the like daily practices of, I feel like it's, you know, sometimes a cliche or like overstated, but like gratitude journaling and just taking inventory, like literally of, what are like your glimmers of hope and what are you excited about and what just brings you some joy and like helping your brain to focus on that. Cause I think it's so easy to just be on autopilot and just go through the day and like, boom, 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 like go through the checklist. And then you're like, what did I even like do today? How do I even feel? Like, I'm just not even aware of it.
Yeah, I think the gratitude journal thing is huge. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it myself, and it's just a complete game changer when mm-hmm. you start writing down, you know, your reflections on your day.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a, I say simple, not easy. Mm-hmm. It's just mm-hmm. one of those things we just put off. We're like, I don't want to do that. Even exercising, it doesn't have to be that complicated.
Totally.
You just have to get outside and get some sunlight, mm-hmm. you know, some of the solutions to a lot of our problems are just super simple solutions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think building in like sustainable practices of, okay, if I want to be healthier, like, okay, 10 minutes of getting outside each day or 10 minutes of walking or 1 minute of gratitude journaling or 1 minute of just writing, like, how do I feel today? And just putting like a label to it. I think sometimes it seems so big in our mind of like, how do I work through this? And
do you see a lot of like commonalities of people that come in that are mm-hmm. struggling with similar things?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of people that will say, you know, I'm really anxious, I'm depressed, I can't sleep, like my mind is just racing, I can't turn it off, like I want to go to sleep and I just can't, my mind just won't stop, it won't leave me alone, lack of motivation, like I know what I need to do, like I feel like people say that all the time, I know what I need to do, I know what I want to do, I just can't do it. I do work with couples. I don't take on a ton of couples just because it can be really intense work, but I have like a couple of couples that I work with now. And so that, you know, just how do you connect with your partner, and if you have kids, how do you find time for each other, and you know, different commonalities there of like, oh, we just coexist, or we're like in roommate mode, or we just like sit on our phones together at night and then we like haven't even spoken to each other. So yeah, I feel like there's definitely like big commonalities. Just high stress, like world that we live in. And, you know, I feel like our brains and bodies like aren't meant for all the constant stimulation that's always being thrown at us.
And just with conversation with people and even myself, you know, all those things that you mentioned, I feel some of that.
Are you tired of feeling sluggish, out of shape, and unmotivated? Introducing Xrcize, the all-natural solution for boosting energy, building strength, and improving mood. Now available anytime at Waring's Gym. Xrcize is a fast-acting, non-prescription solution, clinically proven to reduce stress, improve cardiovascular health, and sculpt your body, all with just 30 minutes a day. Side effects of Xrcize may include increased muscle mass, enhanced mood, boosted self-confidence, and a stronger heart. In some cases, users may experience the desire to wear smaller jeans and post-workout selfies. Talk to your loved one today to see if Xrcize at Waring's Gym is right for you. Join now and take the first step toward a stronger, healthier you.
Totally, same.
At some point, you know, when my mind's racing all the time, I can't stop, mm-hmm. you know, you can't sleep at night, you know what you need to do, but you don't do it. And that's like, mm-hmm. that's discipline.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the act of doing it. Do you try to find, like, make the important thing the important thing? Like, mm-hmm. is there one area you try to focus on versus, like, trying to solve everything at one time? Yeah,
that's such a good question. I mean, I think it just depends on the person and what they're coming in with and what they share that their goals are. Like, I always want it to be directed by the client, and I want them to, you know, take ownership of their goals. And yes, I think a lot of it just depends. I mean, I think I certainly, you know, with individuals, I always I'm curious about relationships and family and what kind of environment did you grow up with, and sort of like what stories do you carry around with you? Like, what's your narrative? How do you see yourself? And what's like your internal tape? You know, how do you talk to yourself? How do you talk yourself through hard times, or when you are super anxious at night and your mind won't stop racing? Like, what are you saying to yourself? So, I feel like a lot of
your process is just understanding how they think, right? Mm-hmm. Or their life and how they were, I guess, what their childhood was like too.
Totally.
I mean, I'm assuming childhood has a lot to do with how we right now.
For sure. Yeah. And I feel like it's not just one thing. Like you want to look at all the parts of a person. So I think there are probably definitely therapists that feel like that's the most important part, like only focus on childhood. That's definitely not my approach. I feel like that's important and I want to know about it and I want to know how you feel about it. But I also want to like tie together where you find yourself now and what are your relationships like in adulthood. I'm also big on like routines and just habits. Like how do you spend your day? How do you spend your time? Like I always ask clients, what does like a 24-hour day in your life look like? Like literally tell me how you spend each hour. It just gives you a really good sense of how the person sees themselves, what they do. Cause sometimes people will say, I can't tell you. Yeah. And other people are like so specific and you're like, all right. It's like, I know the vibe I'm going with you.
Well, I've been, a guy who's a guest on the podcast, he was talking to me, I think it was just on how to prioritize. And he's like, mm-hmm. I just use my calendar.
Yeah.
You know, and I started using my calendar and next thing I know, I'm like, shoot, I'm organized again. I feel like I have like a little sense on like mm-hmm. where I'm supposed to be at what time.
Yeah.
And it really, I feel like that just alone took just a weight off my shoulders.
Totally.
Just doing that.
Yes. Cause I think it gets it like out of here onto somewhere else. Similarly, Ryan and I started, you know, just a calendar on the fridge where like we both wrote down like if he's going to have a late night because it just gets lost in transition. And
oh, so that's how I get on Ryan's calendar.
You got to get on the fridge calendar.
Yeah,
you
get on the fridge. Yeah.
No, for sure. But it's like, it seems like
your habits just shape your life, mm-hmm. you know? And so what about if there's something thrown in the middle of that?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, that's the problem with sometimes routines is sometimes it doesn't go as expected.
For sure.
And then you have to kind of pivot a little bit.
Yes. Yes. I was going to say, I'm kind of in that season, maybe coming out a little bit of it, but like being a mom and like the first year postpartum, I feel like I'm such a routine person. And then it's like, oh man, now I got to factor in this little human and their needs and their routines. And that was a lot for my brain to adjust to.
That's got to be a huge, just kind of undertaking as far as having your routines and having mm-hmm. everything go exactly the way you want to. And then you got to take care of the little one.
Totally. It's such a good lesson and like being flexible and being adjustable, but also like, it's going to be okay. You're going to figure it out. Ryan is so helpful with that as a partner. Like he's just, I mean, you know, Ryan, he's funny and goofy and like, just helps me. Like it's okay. Like if the nap is off a little bit, it's not that serious. But as like a first time mom, you're like, no, but like she has to get the exact like nap time. And if she doesn't get 2 hours, everything's going to be ruined. And Ryan's like, okay, let's just slow it down. But in a kind way where I'm like, all right, he's right. And just sort through it. But it's hard.
Yeah. You see a lot of moms?
I do. Yeah. A lot of postpartum women. My mother-in-law, actually Ryan's mom, you might know, is an OBGYN. So I get a lot of great referrals from her office. I love working with new moms and especially being, you know, a newer mom myself. It's fun.
Do you find yourself learning a lot from your clients?
For sure.
Do you?
Yeah. I really feel like being a therapist is being like a lifelong learner just because people come in with so many different backgrounds and so many different stories and also different ways that they've like found to work through things in their life. Different like complementary therapies that they might be doing or different coaches or other like healthcare providers or, you know, healers, if you will, like other people out there that help them and are important to them. So yeah, I feel like there's definitely lots of different approaches and complementary is the best word I can think of it of alternative complementary sort of approaches.
Would you ever give somebody like advice for something and you're like, oh, maybe I should be doing that too?
Yeah.
You know,
Sure.
I feel like sometimes it helps you as a coach being a little bit more
definitely
accountable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think definitely with the, you know, talking to people about being kinder and compassionate and softer with themselves. Okay. That's definitely like a skill that I actively try to work on because I think we're always like our own worst critic. Like typically we're harsher to ourselves than we are to anyone else, right? Like if a friend or a loved one makes a mistake, we're like, oh, no big deal. Like you're fine. Right. But if like you make a mistake, you're like, God, you're just
idiot. If anyone makes a mistake, I'm yelling. Part of what I love about being a coach is just it makes you accountable. Like, yeah. You know, you have to be somewhat of a leader. Mm-hmm. You can't just say something to somebody that you don't do.
Right.
You know, like I couldn't recommend to somebody do a gratitude journal if I don't do a gratitude journal.
So true.
You know, and I think people understand and they understand when you go first and choose something. And so I feel like mental health is such a. It's such a huge topic, but it's such a like a large topic that it's really kind of hard to define, in my opinion. I also feel like it's very similar to like physical health.
For sure.
Like I'm not even sure. What would you put first, mental health or physical health?
Yeah, it is hard to separate the two. I mean, I think, well, I have thoughts. I feel like hopefully we're moving towards a place where like checking in with a counselor or seeing a therapist is just more looped in with like general health or like your annual exam for a woman or like your physical, right, with your PCP. So, and I think there's like those bridges happening of, you know, so many PCPs and like OBGYNs have great referrals for therapists, right? Because I always think of like touch points of like, where might someone go where they're like, I'm not doing great. Like I just need to talk to someone. Or it doesn't even have to be that, right? Like I'm doing great and I just want to talk to someone. And yeah, it doesn't have to be.
But just like a check-in to see kind of where you're at, you know, maybe.
Right. Just more like routine. Yeah. Cause I think there is this thought of like, it has to be really bad. I have to be really anxious. I have to be not functional. And you do, I always want to think about functional impairment of like, how am I assessing someone's symptoms and how am I tracking, like if they are improving and getting better. But anyways, I think, you know, it can also just be a routine. Like, I just want to talk to someone and who knows what we'll get out of the conversation, right? I feel like that's the thing about talking to a therapist. I see my own therapist that is so helpful to me, but they always like pick out different things in the conversation because it's just different than talking to a friend or a family member, right? It's a person that's objective. They don't know you. They don't know your story or your family's story. I don't know. So like inevitably they're going to pick out just some good like nuggets, I think, of information
to make you kind of question, you know, your own self a little bit.
For sure. Well, that I think for me too, just validation, you know, and kindness and good self-talk and those things. But definitely also like questioning too. And I don't know, being like curious about your own thoughts. I think that's definitely a thing I work with clients on of. Yeah, our thoughts aren't facts, right? Like they're just thoughts and like we can just let them float on. We don't have to like adopt them and like take them in as like part of our story or like who we are, right? Because we have all sorts of like weird different thoughts that pop into our mind. Yeah, and we don't have to like sit there and perseverate on them. But sometimes we do and that's not helpful.
So just kind of letting those thoughts roll on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's an approach or like a technique of like picture a cloud, like your thoughts are clouds and you just let them float on. Or it's a big tiger and we're just shoo tiger,
Yeah, we can shoo a tiger away.
You can shoo a tiger.
Yeah, I always thought, I think of like health in terms of deep health. And so we got your physical health, mental health. Mm-hmm. I say mental in terms of ability to like focus, emotional, like being able to express your emotions or wide range your emotions and express them properly.
Yeah.
Cause I think feeling all those emotions are very important, but like the expression of those at the right time and place is sometimes we get off cause it is kind of good to feel angry every now and then, but you can't express it, you know? the mm-hmm. right way, you know. I think social health is important, mm-hmm. you know, environmental health, like feeling safe yeah. in your environment, and also existential mm-hmm. health, like feeling like there's a purpose. I try to, like, I mean, I'm not a therapist at all. I'm just a regular person, but mm-hmm. I try to, like, kind of check in with myself. And yeah. one of those categories, mm-hmm. like, and physical health as well too, but like, where am I kind of off? You know, do I not sure. have a purpose? Do I, you know, mm-hmm. is it, I don't have any friends or something
relational. Yeah. yeah.
And it's, so you kind of feel like I'm just constantly, like, checking in on one of those. Mm-hmm. And there's always this, like, pendulum. I feel like that kind of swings a little bit. And when one gets really good, another mm-hmm. one kind of gets off, and you have to keep, like,
yeah.
rechecking it every now and then.
Yeah, no, totally. I feel like different, like, spheres of wellness. Like, I was picturing, like, yeah, you know, yeah. circles of wellness as you were talking. And yeah, like, what do I put inside of each of those? And yeah, how would I rate them? And absolutely, like you said, it makes sense that the pendulum, like, kind of swings back and forth, and you just sort of have to, like, get back to your baseline and recalibrate. I mean, I feel like, you know, another thing with clients, like, checking in with those basic, you know, like, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? And, like, the basic stuff of, like, how are you sleeping, and how are you eating, and how are you hydrating, and what does that look like, right? Because, you know, yeah. sometimes I'll have people say, like, yeah, I got 3 hours of sleep last night, and then I just woke up, and right, like, I'm on my phone already, and there's, like, emails coming in, and, like, I haven't eaten in 6 hours. And it's like, no wonder your nervous system is just like,
yeah,
like, someone help.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how I used to do it with my cell phone. Like, it is across the room.
Yeah.
I can't even have it near me mm-hmm. anymore. But I remember when I was a lot younger, I mean, it was sleeping.
Yeah.
Like, it was sleeping right next to me mm-hmm. and you're always on it. You don't sleep, and you don't hydrate.
Yeah.
It just, your everything just starts feeling lousy mm-hmm. every day, and you don't know why.
Yeah.
Until you know, start like practicing all those things. Do you have any, like, non-negotiables for yourself that you do?
That's a good question. I mean, walks for sure, I feel like, are such a big one for me. And Benji is, like, my accountability partner. That is a big young golden retriever, and he needs, like, 3 to 4 miles every day, or else it's just craziness in the household. And then we talked about the gratitude journaling, so I'll kind of do that, or, like, one sentence journaling, but it also serves the purpose of, like, it's sort of cataloging, like, June stuff and changes with her. So it's fun to, like, look back on stuff I wrote about, like, a year ago when June was, like, 6 months old versus now when she's 19 months old. And that's a non-negotiable.
So you're documenting that whole process.
Well, I mean, growing up. Quickly though, you know, like, with the one sentence journaling, and it just helps as, like, little check-ins.
Interesting. I was kind of playing. I was thinking about doing that the other day, because sometimes I put off journaling because mm-hmm. it's like, I don't feel like writing too much, but I was going to start bullet pointing.
Mm-hmm.
Do, like, a little one sentence.
Yes.
Journal, huh? Interesting.
Because I feel like it catalogs, I don't know, how time moves. And sometimes I write a one sentence about my parents. Right. And anyways, my parents are aging and they're not going anywhere anytime soon. But you know what I mean? It, like, at some point, it'll be really nice to look back on that and just see what you're writing about, who's filling your time. But with that being said, I always want it to be quick and, like, realistic, because I'm probably not going to sit down and write for 20 minutes, but I'll do one or two sentences, you know?
I think the cool thing about having like non-negotiables is mm-hmm. we use a term called, like, emotional stamina.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when, like, the worse things get, the more you mm-hmm. dive into your protocol, right?
Yeah.
Your non-negotiables. So like, using some of those things for, like, when tragedy does happen mm-hmm. in your life, which inevitably
for
it
sure.
does, then that's when you, like, you really dig in and make sure you prioritize mm-hmm. those things.
No, that's so true. And I think it helps to have those, like, pillars of, okay, what can I lean on? What can I go back to? What is, like, safeguarded? What's always going to be there? Like you said, because externally things are always going to change, right? But, like, internally, if I have those non-negotiables, it's at least something to fall back on. Doesn't fix it or solve the issue necessarily, but it's something, yeah, something to carry you. Yeah, I like that.
Is there a lot of people kind of out there that are maybe struggling but won't admit they're struggling? Mm-hmm. Or what is there?
I mean, I think it's like anything. It's on a spectrum, right? Like even sometimes you'll have folks that come in and they've like come in to show up to the appointment and they're going to pay for the appointment, but there's definitely still resistance there because it's hard. And I get it, right? Like I think it is so important for therapists to also receive therapy because it is vulnerable. You're like, oh man, I got to just put all my stuff out there and be honest and open and authentic. And that can be really hard. So yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I think even there's some layers within that of I'm somewhere on the spectrum of like, I want to get help, or oftentimes people have like told folks, you know, that they need to get help. Someone will be like, yeah, my mom told me I need therapy, or like my girlfriend told me if I don't go, like she's going to leave me. Or so anyways, you kind of have to like roll with the resistance of like, okay, how can I help? And what can I pull out to like give them, you know, some nugget of information or maybe like a glimmer of hope. Yeah, because some people also come in really like low and lonely and isolated. So I think it varies. Yeah,
and progress is boring too. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people probably don't see progress being made. You know, we're living in a world of instant gratification, mm-hmm. where you're expecting to go see a therapist and then all of a sudden your life's improved.
Yep.
The next day. And it doesn't quite work like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it works through practice and doing stuff consistently.
Yeah.
So I guess kind of going back to what I was saying about like goals is sometimes when you get there, you don't realize you get there because mm-hmm. you don't change that much. But I guess that's where like the gratitude journaling really probably could help out a lot, because then you can actually see it. You're like, oh, mm-hmm. I am making progress.
Yes.
I guess, do you have systems for like seeing progress in people?
Yeah, definitely. So there's, you know, assessments that I'll readminister for anxiety, depression, trauma related concerns, just depends on what people are coming in for. So it is nice to see how those numbers are moving. Scaling questions are great too, of just asking a client like, okay, scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. Like, how do you feel right now? Right. And then taking note of like, okay, you told me you're at an 8 today, Jake. Like 2 weeks ago, you told me you were at a 3. So like what has changed for you? Because clearly something is improving your mood, or, you know, you're progressing in some way. So like, tell me about it. So yeah, there's always the trying to sync up like the objective measures and then the verbal measures of what someone's telling you and then what they're putting down. Because that's a thing too. Like sometimes people will rate like that they're feeling really depressed or really anxious and their numbers are really high. But then in front of you, they're like, I'm fine. Like, everything's fine. Right. So the relationship is so important with client and therapist. Like there has to be trust and safety. I don't know. Anyways, because you don't know what's going on for someone.
Yeah. I think being able to just track the progress and seeing it from a survey, mm-hmm. I guess, point of view. I think it's really important to be able to see mm-hmm. progress. And if you don't, it's like you think it's going nowhere, but mm-hmm.
absolutely no. And it's helpful, if you get kind of stuck in treatment with someone of like, okay, let's look back at your surveys and like let's look at what you put when you came in, and like now let's look at where you are now. So having that sort of like outside perspective of like, wait a second, you have progressed, or you used to tell me that you really struggled with these feelings and now you aren't even mentioning them, right? So you've clearly like worked through them some way. Something to think about though, you're right, because sometimes I think we can't see the internal shifts, like especially, you know, like being more at peace, being less anxious, having more hope. Like, what does that actually look like?
Yeah, you can kind of see it a little bit on the physical side of things, because mm-hmm. you start kind of like, you know, looking better, losing body fat. But like, you know, emotionally, mentally, it's mm-hmm. It's hard to see improvement.
Yeah.
You know, I think other people probably see it before you see it.
Yeah.
Too.
They're like, that makes
sense.
You
seem a little more focused.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Know? Or like, you're more present. You don't seem as distracted. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think your community and the people around you is so important too, for mental health and wellness and just in general, but also for what we're talking about of how's the needle moving for you if you are having a hard time, you know?
So where can people find you?
So my office is off of Granby Street. VB Counseling Collective is my business name. Do online appointments as well. And then Instagram is same thing, just at VB Counseling Collective, and on the web, VB Counseling Collective.
So you have a few people that work with you?
So now I have two interns from ODU, which is really exciting. Yeah. So it's fun to still be connected with the university in that way. It was a hard decision for me to leave there. So anyways, it's nice to still be connected with their counseling center. Sarah Kowalski works there. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so keep up with her, of course. But yeah, it's fun to have interns and but yeah, the collective piece is still sort of like being developed. Like I eventually want to be able to offer different services, like especially because I see so many postpartum women of like having a nutrition piece or a hormonal health piece. And then I'd really love to be able to offer services like equine assisted therapy with horses. Cause like I told you, I love
horses
so much. Yeah. And that's such a big passion for me. So, I feel like that's like 5-year kind of plan, but the collective piece, I sort of did the name first and then letting it kind of unfold, you know, as we move on.
And then did you just say a website?
Yes, it's vbcounselingcollective.com. Yeah. And I have a monthly newsletter that I do. So there's like a little box that pops up if people want to sign up. Awesome. For it cool. There. Yeah.
Sign up for that. I love getting emails. Yeah. People always hate emails. I love emails. Yeah. Now. Like, I just like to see what's good. It's like my news source. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Yeah. I try to do like one cool article or one podcast episode and, you know, helpful things.
And I told you too, you know, even coming on here, I love your content on your social media because it's so, a lot of it is so simple. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do I, you know, do something that's drink food, get sunlight, go for a walk, enjoy the people around you.
For sure.
Again, but it's simple, not easy. And that's where I think a lot of things need support, you know, for somebody, and having that coach, that mentor to help guide you along the way is really important.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think, yeah, anything needs to fit within people's unique lifestyle. So always try to keep it simple, because otherwise it's just too overwhelming.
Did you set up anything for self-care Sunday?
I did. Yes. I had a booth, and both my interns were there, Julie and McKinley. So it was a really fun day. They had a great turnout. Were you there for yoga?
I was in Costa Rica.
Oh, nice.
So okay. I was doing my own self-care Sunday.
That's cool. I'm sure Rachel told you they had an awesome turnout. I mean, yoga, there was a ton of people there. Elliot was on the turntables.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah, it was great. I saw, you know, I was in Costa Rica, but I saw like social media and it was cool, really cool to see. It was a bunch of strangers, but like my grandfather has his like his statue painted on the building behind us. And just seeing that, it struck me real, like kind of real. Just real close to my heart. And I was like, it's just super cool to see. And I was, I told Rachel how proud of her I was for just putting it on, because for her, it comes, you know, it's a lot just to jump in. You've done it before. We just jump into, I'm doing this coaching thing now. And, and she just wanted to put on an event and she did.
Yeah.
And it was really cool to see.
Yes, so, I know.
I'm hoping there's going to be more of those to come.
Yeah. I think she's thinking the fall, but I was telling her, I've been friends with Rachel.
I told
her
I think she should do it every week.
But, yeah.
You know, I think she wants to do it
every Sunday.
Once or twice a year.
Yeah. No, I think it's a big undertaking, but I was going to say, I've been friends with her since high school. And I was like, I love seeing like this side of you, like planning these events. And she's always said that as part of her business, she wants to do retreats. And, but yeah, she just like excelled at it. She did so good, so organized. And there was like calls beforehand and all of her content she created for the separate page. So it was such a fun event and fun as a business owner, just to collaborate with different local businesses and, you know, knowing different resources of where to send clients if they have a certain need and they want to know someone in the community that offers it. So yeah, it was really fun. I think they were really pleased with the turnout. I definitely was. It was really cool.
Cool. Well, thanks Reagan for jumping on with me today.
Thank you, Jake. This was fun.
Cool. Well, see you around.
Okay, that's it for today. Thank you all for joining us on today's journey. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and check us out at wearingsgem.com. Also, I would love to hear your feedback, questions, and any topic that you would like to hear more about. Feel free to email me. My email is jake@wearingsgem.com. See you all next time.